Alex, I believe I have reached the equivalent of nirvana.
Tell me more.
Well, I have been sleeping on my cozy earth sheets.
Wow.
And when I get up in the morning, I put on my fantastic jogger suit.
Yes.
Which is a funny way to put it, but you started saying that, so I'm just going to keep on going. And it is opening my mind to things I didn't know I could open my mind to.
Casey, all I have to say is, welcome to the other side.
It's incredible, Alex.
I've lived two lives. One of them is before Cozy Earth, and one is after.
Which is right now.
That's right. We're talking Cozy Earth. They make incredible, soft, lovely, temperature-controlled bedding and cozy wear.
Cozy Earth makes the best clothes I think I've ever touched, that have ever touched my skin.
Casey, I'm right there with you.
It's soft, it's breathable, it's temperature regulated, it looks good, it feels good, which makes it good.
And how about this for good? All of their products come with a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty. So if for some completely batshit reason you don't love these sheets, you can return them.
Now, Alex, right around the corner is Mother's Day. If you haven't already done something, which you should have,
yeah,
now's your moment. Go buy your mom some Cozy Earth, because it is the thing that will help her sleep at night. It's the thing that will help keep her comfortable at all moments of her life. And that's what you want for your mom.
So she isn't up all night thinking about what a disappointment her children are.
Exactly, because they didn't get her Cozy Earth. You don't want to be on that level.
Well, Casey, here's some exciting news. All Completely Arbitrary listeners get 35% off at CozyEarth.com with promo code TREES. Again, that's promo code TREES, T-R-E-E-S, for 35% off at Cozy Earth. So get yourself cozy. Get your mom cozy. Hell, get your dad cozy and your friends cozy.
Yeah, it doesn't have to stop there, you know?
Make the earth cozy with Cozy Earth.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
What's up, Fungal Associates? Welcome to Completely Arbitrary, the podcast about trees and other related topics. I'm still Alex Croson, and of course, we got...
I'm no longer Casey Clapp.
Wow.
Sorry. Sometimes you just got to change who you are. I am today going to be, you know what, my old pseudonym, Kip Clapp.
Kip Clapp. I remember this.
Yeah, you do.
Was it high school era?
Ooh, probably high school, early college.
Okay, yeah. Kip.
I think probably college more than anything.
Kip.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to name my kid was Kip, so that I could at any point say, good job, Kip Clapp. That's ship shape. Come on, that's good. That's good. Could you imagine a little kid just being so proud that his dad called him, you know,
Kip.
Kip.
Kip Clapp.
And he's in, whatever he just did was in ship shape.
Ship shape.
Yeah.
Do you remember our friend? Yes, I think that's great.
Thank you, Alex.
Sorry,
I put it on video games and they're like, what are your initials? It's always Kip. So if you ever see a video game that says Kip, you know I was there.
Casey,
like,
was,
I mean,
there.
Like an arcade game.
Sure.
Most of the time. I guess I would do it for another one too, but you know.
That's not really a thing in video games anymore, putting three initials in as your name.
What a good time.
I suppose you could.
Yeah, probably could, but you know, I feel like they'd be like, why are you doing this? We already know all your data.
Do you remember our friend, Hanrahan?
Yeah, Matt Hanrahan.
Matt Hanrahan?
Yeah.
I say our friend, I don't even remember his name.
I was like, how long has it been since you've known him?
I remember him saying in high school that he wanted to have a daughter and name her Hannah Ann, so that her name was Hannah Ann Hanrahan?
Hannah Ann Hanrahan. What? I bet you that's still the case.
I mean, that was so long ago, he might have a daughter at this point named Hannah
Ann. He might, yeah. Last time I talked to him was probably around 2017 or 2018.
Oh, wow. And not too long ago.
Yeah. He was working at Next Adventure here in Portland, Oregon.
Oh, wow. Cool.
He was the manager and the intaker of all the stuff in the Bargain Basement, if you've ever been there.
Cool. Yeah. I've heard about this Bargain Basement.
Yeah. So he, we saw him, and I was like, oh, dude, what's up? And he's like, oh, I'm just chilling, about to move. And I was like, come over and grab a beer. He came over to my house. He used to grew up near my friend Max, like literally three doors down, not the band.
Wow.
Then, believe it or not, he's like, yeah, I'm actually, you want this bike? And we're like, yeah. Me and my friend Joey, who also lived with us, bought his bike before he just jumped and moved to Montana, like in October or something.
How random.
Yeah, lived there for a winter time. Was like, yeah, I'm coming back. And I think he also like eloped like that moment, like right before that. Like,
wow.
His story's wild.
Wild.
I have no idea where he is, but I know that he at least historically had a Ford Ranger truck, which is probably the most important aspect of this whole story.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you mentioned that, because it sets me up perfect for this transition. Today we're talking about a tree, as we do every episode, and this tree, Margosa.
It's the Margosa tree.
Can I just say?
You may.
I know not thing one about the Margosa tree. I didn't even know it existed. I've never heard of this before.
Wow. Okay.
It's true.
That's fascinating.
I'm so sorry.
Have you heard of Neem, Alex?
I've heard of Nemo, the little clownfish boy.
Oh, no, no, no. This is no Nemo. In fact, it's probably closer to Captain Nemo from whatever Captain Nemo's from.
Oh, yeah. From some dream, I forget. Some old book.
Thousand Million Leagues Under the Sea?
Yeah, something like that. A thousand million.
1,000 million. 20,000 leagues under the sea. I think that's Captain Nemo.
Roughly 80 billion.
roughly 80 billion leagues under the sea.
Casey, the thing I have to say about the Margosa is that it sounds very much like the name of a dragon from Skyrim. And that's sort of my take so far.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. You know what? I have to reiterate, Nemo is spelled the same way, whether it's captain or fish. So
there you go.
They're the same, but now my metaphor's completely falling apart. So,
hey, you know what? I think you found a new metaphor. There's something to that.
Yeah, I think there is.
Some literary analogy going on.
You go 20,000 leagues under the sea, you find Nemo.
Yeah. You're going to get separated from your father, who has an anxiety disorder.
Yeah. You know what? Now that I'm reading this, I bet you that that's a callback.
I'm sure.
That's so good.
Callback.
You know, when you learn something, you're just like, wow. What a dummy. I should have seen that coming.
Well, Casey, today we're talking Margosa. I'm really excited to get into it because we're also talking a little traditional medicine, which you know I love.
Yes, I do.
But we must do so after a break. We will be right back with Completely Arbitrary. Hey, let me ask you this. Have you ever taken a walk and just felt inspired? Maybe you discovered your new favorite restaurant, or popped into the library and found a book that you really wanted to read, or you're like, hey, I think this car dealership used to be a Taco Bell. Well, there's a podcast about this kind of thing now with comedian and actor Alan McLeod, one of the funniest guys. It's called Walking About. It's a new podcast that treks into the simple joy of walking and its connections to health, history, creativity, and of course, community. In each episode, Alan invites a friend to share a little stroll and see where the sidewalk takes him. Alan McLeod has guests including Mike Mitchell, Spoon Man, Spoon Nation for Life. You got Colton Dunn. You got Janet Varney, Eva Anderson, Whitmer Thomas, Gabrus, Ed Begley Jr., Catherine Spears, Andy Richter, and of course, Burger Boy, Nick Weiger. Some of the funniest people. You know this podcast is going to be an absolute hoot. Maybe you could even listen to it while you're taking your walks. So lace up your podcasting shoes and listen to Walking About out now, wherever you get your pods. You know, here I am at the ripe old age of 35. And one thing that has become really important to me just over the last couple of years is privacy. Besides what I tell you here on the podcast, I basically don't want anyone to know anything about me unless I choose to tell them. And one way I up my privacy game is with NordVPN. Now, if you are like me and didn't know what a VPN was until a couple of weeks ago, let me tell you, a VPN is a virtual private network. And I said to myself, well, sure, that sounds cool. but I really don't know what it is or does. And then the moment I turned it on, I said, ah, I get it now. A VPN changes your IP address, hides your virtual location, and encrypts your connection, which allows you to increase your privacy online. How many times per day do you get scam calls or spam email because your data got leaked somehow? I also get emails from companies saying, hey, I see you bought something with us recently. Unfortunately, we got hacked and your data is now being used to harm you. With a VPN, you do not have to worry about any of this. It secures you when you're using public Wi-Fi. It stops marketers and internet service providers from tracking and collecting your browsing history and your messages and lots of other private data. And you can change your location to any of hundreds of countries, unlocking the power of, I don't know, say, British Netflix. I didn't know how important it was until I started using one. That's the truth. So if you just want to check out the features and see if it's right for you, I bet there's something about a VPN that will surprise you. So get started with NordVPN at nordvpn.com/trees. That's nordvpn.com/trees. It's risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. And the link is in the description. Now go get secure. Welcome back to Completely Arbitrary. Today we're talking Margosa.
Oh, that's right.
I did notice that the scientific name of this was something indica.
It was hard to pronounce also. Well, actually, it looks hard to pronounce because I'm used to a different tree that is named after it. So,
give it your best shot.
I will. Are you ready for this?
Uh-huh.
Azadirachta indica.
One more time.
First try, baby! Azadirachta. Indica.
Azadirachta.
Yeah. Azadirachta. The so, C is, there's a C-H-T-A at the end.
Oh,
so
wow.
I think it's acta rather than achta, but it could be.
Casey, let's imagine as we do every episode that you and I think we're in India.
Yes. In fact, we could be, let's say India because I think that's a more appropriate place to start.
Okay. And say, to say you're walking through India is hilarious because it's fucking enormous.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, let's just, we happen to be walking through the very, very uniform and homogenous place called India.
The city of India.
Yeah.
And we come across some Margosa trees.
That's right.
Casey, I'm very excited. Let's ID this tree.
All right. So here we are walking under a tree that either could be very tall, like up to about 60, 70 feet tall.
Wow.
Or up to about 140, depends on where it's grown, how it's grown. But it's a big tree. It grows with a big, wide, open canopy, and it is very often planted along with a very closely related tree from the kind of south Southeast Asia area called Melia Azadirach. That's the one that I'm familiar with.
Ah.
Otherwise known as the China berry, which I think is fine, but in my heart of hearts, I believe that when someone says China berry, I can only think about it as someone from like 1860.
Yes.
Being like, go down there to Chinatown. Go down there to China berry.
Yes.
So I don't know. It's an accepted name.
It just sounds wrong.
It does. It's just like China fur, where it sounds like, yeah. Ooh, I mean, this feels like it's slightly offensive. But I believe that it's just saying like Norway maple, same exact thing.
I don't know if that's the same.
It is. It's the same kind of name.
No,
where you just
well,
say
yes.
The country is a singular thing rather than the Norwegian fur or the Chinese fur.
I guess I don't think it's the same thing because Norwegians are white.
Oh,
so
I see.
So it's like a power.
You're saying,
thing.
Okay, so yeah. So when we say Norway fur, that's like, oh, it's the fur from Norway. And then when we say China fur, the original name is more like, oh, that's
a
weird oriental fur.
Yes, like, it sounds a little colonialist by nature, I think.
I think you're probably right, ultimately.
Yeah, thank you.
Regardless, the other name for Melia Azadirach, not the tree we're talking about, but it needs to be noted, white cedar. Now, Alex, both of us just did this like, huh? Because it looks just the same as the tree we're talking about, which has big broad leaves.
Uh-huh.
It looks nothing like
very
anything.
Cedar-like.
Yeah, oh, so cedar-like. It's like saying, oh, what is that? Is that a VW bug? And you're looking at a Mack semi-truck.
Right.
Like, no, it's not. How did you even get there? Anyway.
I drive around a Porsche. You might know it as a PT Cruiser.
You might know it, but anyway.
Do we know why it's called White Cedar?
I have no idea.
Okay, we'll talk about that on our White Cedar episode.
Another time.
Yeah.
So this is a tree that is native to India, and it is native to the kind of drier area that has the same thing that I know you love, the dry deciduous or drought deciduous plants.
Ah, yeah.
It is evergreen, but if it does find itself in just a little bit less savory conditions, it'll drop all of its leaves sometime during that dry season or many of them, so it looks very stressed out, and then it'll put on a new flush of leaves as soon as more water comes. So you're walking around, you see this big tree, you're natively speaking probably from somewhere in like eastern India is probably where it's from. However, nobody quite knows for sure because it's another one of those trees that has been moved around by people since time immemorial.
Wow.
And a lot of those like semi-tropical or tropical trees can grow almost anywhere else in the semi-tropics or tropics of the world. Okay. So if someone moves it from East India down to someplace in Southeastern Asia, a little bit further away, it's going to grow fine. It's probably going to seed itself in and keep moving. But where the range has been expanded naturally, quote unquote, versus via humans, which is, you know, ostensibly unnaturally, no one's quite sure.
Okay.
But I don't think it's really important. It's one of those things where in the tropics, they just kind of move around. So that's kind of where what it's been doing for the last 3,000 years, maybe.
Hey, you know what? That's part of the globalization of plants.
Right? For better or worse, we're in it. Let's just see what we can do.
I got to Google globalization one day to make sure I'm using it correctly.
You know, I think you are. Yeah. I'm gonna say credit.
The tropics are a wild place, man.
They really are. And this tree is one that has played a big role in the tropics for a long time. So it's a big tree, like I said. It has a nice capacious canopy, and it has very much utility bark. I will say, though, attractive utility bark.
How about that?
Yeah, it's utility bark that you're like, man, it's not really gonna jump out of me, but I don't hate it. It's kind of like wallpaper. Some wallpaper, you're just like, well, it's just paper on a wall. Move on. Other times, you're kind of like, that actually really pulls this whole room together.
Wow.
I think it's still wallpaper.
Sure.
But I think this is nice wallpaper.
It's a practical application, but they spent some time to make it beautiful.
You get it. Exactly. So it has opposite arranged leaves.
Cool. Casey is shaking his arms like Kermit the Frog.
And Alex is like, I don't know why that's even important.
Why is that good?
Well, many of the species that I'm familiar with, that most people are familiar with, probably are alternately arranged.
Sure.
The leaves have one leaf per node. Mm-hmm. This has two leaves per node, which sets it apart, at least for most temperate trees, which again, yes, I know this is a tropical tree, but it makes it unique right off the bat, because you can tell it apart if you're doing ID things. It's like the very first thing you ever look at.
Yes, whenever we're doing Who Can a Tree Now, you always ask first, do they have oppositely or alternately arranged leaves?
Exactly.
Interesting. It is a nice look at a macro level, too, when you see a tree with oppositely arranged leaves.
Sometimes it feels very symmetrical, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in this case, it actually, I don't think, gives you a nice symmetrical appearance to the tree. I think the branch architecture as it comes up becomes quite irregular.
It's quite a mess, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. But not like in a mess that's like really off. Like it's not a kind of like an apple or a pear or something where you just get these wild shoots that kind of come off in every direction. It just kind of doesn't stick to any theme. It's just kind of like, what's up? I'm going to grow over here. Then I'm going to twist over there. Then I'm going to do this. And it just kind of goes.
Got a good word for this.
Okay.
It's eclectic.
There you go. I was thinking you're going to say chaos.
No. He has an eclectic morphology.
What a beautiful term, Alex.
Thank you.
I really like that.
I like that too. Can we return briefly to the bark? Because I'm seeing a photo of it now.
Okay.
Dinosaur skin.
Wow, that's what you think.
Just anybody who wants to know what this bark looks like, just imagine dinosaur skin. And not like scales, but kind of scales. But you know, like craggy dinosaur skin.
All right, yeah, I could see that. Yeah. It's almost popping off, but not quite.
Yes.
It has like little lines in it, some orange there, some gray here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay. I see that.
That's all.
Well, okay, I agree.
Aren't you glad I interrupted you for that, Casey?
I am. I really am. Well, so back to these leaves here. They are pinnately compound, which I am kind of frustrated because I found a really great description that's on our show notes. And that description calls out the leaves as being simple pinnate.
Oh, that's an oxymoron.
Exactly. And it's really like frustrating because they say literally the opposite simple pinnate once divided in parentheses, which means if you have a pinnately compound leaf, mm-hmm. it divides into some amount of leaflets mm-hmm. along a central midrib or mid-vein area. So aracus is also the term. So if you are compound, by definition, you are not simple.
Right.
But what they're talking about, what they're contrasting it to is a
bipinnately compound?
Exactly, bi- or tripinnately compound, uh-huh. where each one of those leaflets then also breaks into individual leaflets.
Listen, if we're going to start calling good old pinnately compound simple,
yeah,
the bar is being raised too fast.
Yeah, or rather, I think it's being lowered. Like, you can just throw things around.
Oh, I see.
You know, it's like, no, you should not do that. I don't know. This is a good website, so I'm fine with their use of it.
Uh-huh.
But my qualm is, for anybody who doesn't quite know, then they would be like, oh, I'm very confused by that.
It's a little misinformation,
Casey.
I think it matters.
I think it does, and I think you should get rid of simple and say the opposite pinnately compound leaves, and then say once divided.
So these leaves...
Anyway, they have singly compound leaves in a pinnate fashion.
They're good-looking leaves.
They are, and you know what else I love about them is they're like very coarsely serrated, and they just look quite attractive to me.
Yeah,
like they're both the leaflets on either side are kind of a little bit asymmetrical. So a leaflet coming off to the left and to the right is a little bit taller or a little bit longer on the top and shorter on the bottom.
The serrations?
Yeah. Not the serrations, the leaflets themselves.
Oh, okay.
So like if you take a leaf, right, and you cut it down the middle, then you have that kind of symmetry.
Uh-huh.
So if you twist it to the side and then you make it into a leaflet, the top half of that leaflet is a little bit longer and wider than the bottom half. So they're just kind of a little bit skewed towards the top.
I feel you. It's got a little extra material on top. Okay.
But I think it makes it very attractive.
Yeah.
Because then you have the serrations on the bottom. They're a little bit smaller, a little bit strangely angled. And then the top are much more intensely angled. But they both have the same kind of surety. Like, they're very like, I am serrated here and now. There's no questions. There's no questions about this leaf being like, am I serrated? No. Am I double serrated? Maybe not today.
That's my new favorite meditation technique. I am serrated here and now.
Just like that. I think you're going to go far with that, Alex.
I am a Margosa.
So I just think they're very attractive leaves.
Good looking leaves. Yeah. You know what? They don't look too tropical.
They don't. Yeah. I bet you if you looked at them, because they're like a dark green, you know, they almost feel like they could live perfectly well up in harder climes.
Yes.
But apparently they do not.
Yeah. They've got kind of a walnut thing going on.
Yeah. A little bit. Yeah. So, in fact, actually, a way to tell them the difference or tell them apart is that walnuts are alternately arranged.
Ah, there you go. Yeah, and they probably wouldn't be growing next to this tree.
Probably not. Yes, that's very
that's
true.
The other ID characteristic.
Yeah. So let's see what else. Okay, it's got some flowers, Alex. Now, this I thought was fascinating. The flowers come out in big panicles that are somewhat droopy. So a panicle is a flower stem that splits, and then that one splits, and then that one splits. Mm. So they kind of go a fractal kind of style coming out to where there's 150 to 250 flowers on each individual inflorescence.
Now, remind me, because I will never remember this.
Yeah.
But what did you call it? Panicle.
Panicle.
Is like carrots, right?
What is
the carrot flower called?
Oh, an umbel.
Ugh, I'll never fucking get this,
I
Casey.
Know. Imagine umbel as umbrella, where there's one central thing
perfect.
And then it pops open with a flat top. Or a slightly curved top, just like an umbrella.
And this is a panicle.
Yes.
Which hangs down?
No, not necessarily, but it goes up with one single stem, and then that branches. And then it branches again and again and again.
Okay.
So you have more of a triangular kind of pyramidal appearance. Imagine something similar to a lilac or perhaps a horse chestnut, something
like
that. Got it.
Okay. That's
so
a panicle.
Similar. Now, I'm just saying in terms of visual idea, I don't want anyone being like, oh, well, actually, technically, this flower is that. I'm just saying visually, that triangular shape.
We got you.
Perfect.
I think pyramidal is a perfect descriptor.
Okay. This is a pyramidal panicle.
Well, thank you for that, Casey.
You're welcome, Alex. Now, each petal, this is actually a very good thing. The petals are gorgeous, or the individual flowers themselves are stupendously pretty. They look like a citrus flower, I think. Like, they're white, and they have like very thin petals that come out, and they kind of are very like, I don't know, they're minimized. Like,
I'm going to call these a daffodil bumblebee.
Wow, a daffodil bumblebee?
Because they look like little bumblebees with their little wings and their little fuzzy wings. I know the wings aren't fuzzy. Well, they probably have some pubescence on.
Maybe.
But in the middle is a little daffodil head, like a little cup.
I'm going to look this up right now because I don't remember this part.
I've been caught.
No.
I'm looking at the wrong flower.
Honestly, it has happened before, but it was not your fault.
I will say that these do have a little daffodil cup in the middle.
I see what you're talking about. They do. Yeah, you're right. And they're like a little bit yellow right there.
Yeah.
The petals themselves are curved, so they kind of look like a fake star. There's five petals, and they're just like,
yeah,
they
I love them.
They look very cheery.
They're very delicate looking flowers.
They really are. And I don't know that they are particularly delicate. Like what you would imagine for, I don't know, a flower you like barely touch it and it's like, and then it like falls away. I don't know that they're quite that pretty.
It like starts bruising and decaying if you even touch it.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like magnolias are like that a lot.
Oh, interesting. Which is ironic because magnolia flower petals are like shoe leather.
Yeah, they're huge. But they're like, so if you squeeze thick on them, yeah, they'll end up discoloring just like that.
Interesting. Anyway. We were at a Buddhist temple. My partner Lily and I were at a Buddhist temple last week out at Mount Adams, the Mount Adams Buddhist temple.
Oh, okay.
And we were in the garden, and there were some little honeybees going, making the rounds.
Yeah.
And they were, what are the big big fuzzy black and yellow ones.
Yeah, those, honeybees. Those are bumblebees.
Bumblebees.
Yeah,
yes.
They're like extra giant.
Yes, the bumblebees, and they would land on a flower, and they were too heavy for the flower, so we'd go, and they would like get kind of kicked off, like bucked off, like they're riding a bull.
Oh, that's so good.
It was so cute. I could have watched it all day.
It's how much they have to deal with those little bees.
They're so heavy for. I mean, it's like you know, you must be this tall to ride this ride. They're doing it anyway.
Yeah, they're like, no, you're way too tall. Get off this ride. You're gonna break the stem. So these little white fragrant flowers are the precursor to the real gem of this tree, which are the fruit.
Yeah, tell me about the fruit, Casey.
They're drupes, my friend.
Wow, a droop fruit riot.
This is another one. They happen everywhere. So these fruit are about maybe a little bit smaller than an olive.
Yeah.
They end up maturing to a light green, yellowish color. They are a drupe with usually one, but up to two or three seeds inside this little drupe. And normally a drupe is just the one seed. So
yeah.
I think that's probably has more to do with some strange morphological thing that happens, a mutation of some kind inside the fruit.
Okay.
So I bet you it's like finding a four-leaf clover. A four-leaf clover is, in fact, a mutation of a normal three-leafed clover.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so
I think
that's why they're lucky. So I think it's a similar thing. You find three seeds inside of a neem berry, a drupe, then in that case, good luck. Well
done.
As they say, put in your pocket and rub it for a while.
Take it to an old man and trade for some beans.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Yeah,
Or a donkey that talks.
Yes, I think that all of these things would be worth my neem berry.
And the fruit, yeah, like you said, they're quite olive-ish.
Yeah, yeah. Apparently, they have a bittersweet pulp that is yellowish. I've also been told that it's quite poisonous. So it's poisonous to mammals.
Never mind. Do not eat the droop fruit riot.
Honestly, this is something I found very curious. You eat the fruit, like you take the droop and you eat it. It is poisonous to mammals.
Okay.
However, we can ingest small amounts of the oil from it, and it is useful for the soil. So you can like take this, and I should note, you make oil out of these seeds. I should say that as a preface.
Right. We're going to get to that.
Yeah. But they in the pressing of it, it's just the same as pressing for olive oil or
sure,
something.
Sure, yeah.
You just throw them in there, and it squeezes between these two roly bits, and it pushes so hard that all the oils pop out of the fruit and the seed. But then there's also this leftover kind of husk that's like kind of this dried pulp that is squeezed oilless. And that you can amend in your soil, and it adds a bunch of nitrogen.
How about that?
So it's strange to me that the resources are like, yes, do not eat this. In fact, the name Azadirachta, that is named after Azadirach, which is a Persian botanist, in maybe not even botanist, might be too early, in like the 900s.
Wow.
That is a name for a poisonous tree.
Oh, interesting.
So it makes sense that this tree is in fact poisonous, but we use it in so many ways that is not poisonous to us. Yet we also use it to poison other things. It's fascinating.
Well, one thing I'm learning about trees and plants that are, quote, poisonous, it's not like the fairy tales where you eat it and it kills you dead.
Yeah,
it's
right.
It's usually like it'll give you diarrhea
or
make you throw up for a while.
Poisonous in that way back when you just have so many diarrhea. I guess that's not, I don't know. Is diarrhea plural and singular?
Why not?
I had so many diarrhea the other day. It's insane. But yeah, it makes you'd like get dehydrated. And then back then you would die because you just didn't have enough water.
Wow. Yeah, good point.
You know, so that's. Yeah. I think you're spot on. Same thing with mushrooms. People are like, is that mushroom poisonous? And it's like, oh my God, you could eat so many mushrooms. You're going to feel so bad. But none of them will probably cause you liver damage except for like three.
Well, we also just want to put a statement here from our lawyer that any of our information on poisonous plants should not be taken into the field.
No, definitely.
Be safe rather than sorry.
That falls into the 30%.
Yeah. This is the opinion of the hosts.
Yeah, exactly. You pick up a book that's much better.
Well, Casey, can we talk about the oil? Now, I'm very curious to hear why it's called neem oil.
I actually am not sure.
Fucking kidding me?
I didn't even look that up.
It's the one thing I wanted to know.
Oh God! No.
I'm gonna look it up while you could talk about the oil.
Okay, that sounds good. You look it up because I just saw that it's another name for the tree. Some people call it the neem tree, and that came from the word neem came from other like ancient languages.
I gotcha.
So I actually didn't look up the etymology of this at all because I assumed. Because there's so many, as there are with these tropical trees where they've been spread throughout cultures, everybody just has their own name for it, you know, similar to the nani.
Sure.
You go to any place, they'd say, oh, well, we call it this. Someone else calls it that.
Yeah. What, a folk taxonomy?
Yeah. Well, this is pretty much just common names, you know. It's whatever name you happen to call it.
Yeah.
So folk taxonomy, okay. It would be more like they lump it together with something that's not necessarily botanical.
Sure. It's like, that's the donkey fruit, because when you eat it, I don't know where to go with that. Sorry.
That's all right. This is what's great about folk taxonomy. You can just let it do whatever it does.
Just let it die if it doesn't work. Hey, I did learn something in my quick Google search about the name Azadirachta.
Uh-huh.
It's derived from Persian, like you said.
Yep.
Azad means free, and Diract means tree.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Indica means from India.
Oh, yes.
Just like we'd say Californica.
And then India. Oh, wow. That's amazing. And then India means of India. So this is the free tree of India.
Huh. That's very fascinating.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. There you have it. Funny. Well, that's just interesting because the thing that I read said that as a Derek, it meant that it was poisonous.
Wow.
So I wonder where the difference is between poison and free tree.
I wonder too.
See, this is where our podcast is good, Alex.
Yeah, this is where it's good.
Anyway, we're not talking about the etymology today. This is not an etymology episode.
Oh my God, relax.
I'm done with this.
Let's talk about neem oil.
Neem oil, not to be confused with neem O.
Yeah, thank you.
The captain that got lost and his father had a panic attack.
Mm.
Anyway, neem oil, as was termed to me one time, magic neem oil.
Wow.
Which is now the term that I use for it. After researching for this exact podcast, what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
I stand by that name 100%.
Incredible.
It is magic neem oil, and it does everything.
Tell us why.
I only know that it has a certain chemical in it, which is essentially azadirachtin. I said that right, I think.
Nice.
Azadirachtin is the main ingredient that you'll find in it, along with a bunch of other different chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
But essentially, it is a protector inside the leaves of this plant. I think, well, it's a protector inside the plant tissue. So mostly this neem oil comes from the seeds and the fruit. But there are bits and components of this in other parts of the plant as well.
It's like a natural insecticide or something?
Exactly. Mm. Not only a natural insecticide, a natural herbicide and bactericide.
Okay.
So this is an oil that is used for mainly two different things. One is consumption by people in a thousand different ways.
Mm.
So I have actually used to have a bunch of neem oil. Now I just had a little container, I guess. But I would use it for different skin issues. If I had a heat rash, something like that. I was like, wow, this is really itchy and uncomfortable. I'm just going to put a little neem oil on it. And I swear to God, it would go away in like a day and a half.
Wow.
It would just disappear.
Neem oil.
Neem oil. And on top of that, people will claim neem oil does everything. It'll help with your skin. In certain traditional medicines, specifically Ayurveda in India, which is, of course, where this tree's native from, it's a huge component of the local traditional medicines.
Wow.
Like, they use it for just about everything, helping ulcers. You put it as a skin treatment. You add it to different food to help get you in balance because it has all these different effects.
So it can be ingested or be used topically.
That is my understanding.
Okay.
And it's not poisonous if you ingest the oil. Now, if you ingest a bunch of the oil, it is poisonous. But it's just like caffeine. If you have X amount of caffeine, it will cause you significant damage.
Yeah.
But you'd have to drink like an impossible amount of coffee to get to that level.
Okay.
But if you concentrate it, then it could cause you trouble.
Interesting.
So I think it's similar to this, where if you are adding it in and watering it down, you can put it into food, and it's many times prescribed in certain traditional medicines.
Mm.
But you also can put it as a topical treatment on your skin to help with whatever's ailing you.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of like tea tree in that regard, where it just is this, it just does everything.
Wow.
And I can only say, yes, it does, because A, I have experience.
Yeah.
B, science has actually said, yeah, this actually like stands up to a lot of this.
Interesting.
Which is very curious, because Alex, I don't know if you know this, but many different times when a plant extract is used, you always have the end of this commercial, let's say, they always note the USDA has not evaluated this for, you know, its accuracy or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Because a lot of these like remedies that we've had since time immemorial, they've been used for something. And the peoples who use them say, yes, this works. Then along comes Western science that has to do things in a very specific way. If it's not done that way, then you cannot say it is this works, right? So this is one of those instances where Western science and traditional medicine come together and they're like, yes, this works.
I mean, that is a great commercial for neem oil.
It is. And we haven't even talked about half of it, Alex.
It's bringing people together from across the world.
From across different cultures and understandings.
Mm-hmm. This is like when the Americans and the Nazis were both like, hey, this Van Halen guy's all right.
Oh, I was not sure where you were going with that.
I don't know if that's from something or something I made up.
It sounds awful.
I would really like some neem oil, although I don't know what it would... I guess I could start taking it and see if some of my unknown ailments are treated.
Yeah, you can use it for like literally anything.
Casey, can I read you some of the things that neem oil has been used for traditionally in India?
Please do.
Strengthening the immune system.
Uh-huh.
Detoxifying blood, which I'm detoxifying blood is a big recurring thing.
Yeah.
In, I will say Eastern traditional medicines that I've found. Improve liver function.
Makes sense.
We could all use that and maintain a healthy, this is a triple, maintain a healthy circulatory, digestive and respiratory system. So this seems like cheating, where it's like, yeah, it'll help this system, and this system.
It'll help your body.
Those are all the systems we have.
Yeah, it's like it's universally good.
Yeah, interesting.
Right? Well, and you brought this up with this specific kind of traditional medicine where they are saying, yes, this is an oil that we use. We use this, the fruit, to get this oil, and it treats this.
Mm.
However, I think what's important about all these traditional kind of medicines that use something, whether it's, you know, an oil or some other specific concoction, it is in conjunction with a bunch of other lifestyle things.
Yes.
And this is where I think Western science and traditional medicine stop.
Yep.
Well, Western science says this will help with this, but only to a degree that's not enough that we can actually say, yes, this oil will help you with these things. Whereas the other side, this traditional side's like, of course, it's great. It helps in like, will really push you over the bar. Just make sure when you do it, you also meditate, stop drinking, drink extra water, do all this thing.
Yes.
And then it will work.
Yes.
And that, I think, is where the two things diverge.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't think any... in the same way that a Western medical doctor will often be like, I'll prescribe you a new prescription.
Yeah.
Just take it every day. And then they don't say, and also, by the way, get really good sleep. I mean, not as a rule, by the way. I've heard this from doctors.
But it's not like, let me prescribe this as a part of the treatment.
Yeah, I've never been prescribed like meditation or, you know, or like sleep hygiene.
Yeah.
Which are all things that in a lot of Eastern traditions are like, well, yeah, you should be doing those first. And then follow it up with some neem oil.
Yes. And this is something I've thought so much about.
Yeah.
Because I think we talked about it a little bit last week, where modern science, which is a derivative of the Western-centric science, like literally it goes back to like Aristotle and Plato and logic, you must be able to show definitively with logical, if this, then that kind of statements, that this subject, or rather this formula, this thing works for whatever you're claiming it works for.
Sure.
And with that being like the way we go about things, we minimize everything. So it says, aha, take this pill for this exact thing. We know it works exactly like this.
It's very dichotomous, isn't
it? Yeah,
like exactly. It either works or it does not work.
And everything else is irrelevant.
Yes.
We've controlled for all that.
Yeah.
Whereas all these other places are like, well, no. All these things are combined. You must do all these things. So it really makes me wonder, like, what if someone told me something about like getting rid of a hangover. They're like, well, if you're about to get a, you know, if you've been drinking heavily that night, you should do this thing right before the end. And it was like, take a certain thing and make sure you drink like two big cups of water with it.
Oh, yeah, like an Advil and two cups of water.
It wasn't an Advil. It was just some other like thing. Like, okay. Take some other concoction real fast.
Okay.
And I was like, so do you think it's that thing that they're having you take, or do you think that along with it, you drink two giant cups? It was like 2 liters of water, some obscene amount. And I was like, you know, I think that they could be like, here, take this sugar pill. It's going to completely solve your issues. But the dosage is 1 sugar pill and 6 gallons of water. And it's like,
you're going to feel great.
You realize that the trick is just drink the water, right? So that's half the thing I think about with traditional medicines is that they're traditional because they basically say, you know, this is your lifestyle that you need to be focusing on. Once you get your lifestyle in balance, then almost whether or not you're taking neem oil, you're going to solve your problem.
Interesting.
But maybe neem oil does help because it has all these other antifungal, antibacterial properties. Mm-hmm. So you have a little bit and your body will actually get rid of that rash while you're also sleeping better, changing this habit, drinking more water, exercising, all these other things that come along.
I think that is so profound, Casey, because a lot of traditional medicines are as you described. And then Western medicine is more like less lifestyle based and more prescription based, I guess.
Right.
And
we're not going to ask you to not drive your car. We're just going to say, take this pill and this will make you all better.
Yeah. And I think that's why I think I resonate more with traditional medicine.
Yeah.
Because it makes more sense because the human body is like a wildly complex machine.
And it's all connected.
Yes. Yeah. It's kind of incredible. Mind and body. So when they say meditate, you're not just helping your mind. You're also like unwinding some anxiety that you're holding in your body, which will help this, which will help you breathe better, which will help your blood circulate better, which will end up fixing whatever ails you.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, the scientists are like, well, actually what you've done is you've reduced your blood pressure. And because you've reduced this, your stress levels have reduced. And because your stress levels is reduced, you got rid of this free radical.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, we know. And then they're like, okay, well, how do we just devise this into a pill? You know? It's like, God,
the meditation pill.
Point.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be great?
Casey, would now be a good time for me to chat with you a little bit about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
I think this is as good a time. We still have a half hour left. So yeah, I guess is I'll take it.
I'm about to tell you the greatest story of all time.
Wow, really?
Now I'm going to chat with you a little bit, Casey, not about him, capital H, but about Ayurveda.
Yes.
Ayurveda. Fuck, I fucked it up. I practiced like four times before I said that.
I am horrified.
Ayurveda.
Yeah, okay. I didn't even realize I was doing that. Nice.
Ayurveda is a traditional medicine out of India.
Yes.
Here's a fun fact. I read this on one website, so bear with me. I guess this is how research works. You just have to read it once. It is the oldest still practiced traditional medicine.
No way.
So Ayurveda is an ancient Indian medical system.
Yes.
Like traditional medicine. Mm-hmm. And it is sort of based around, as a lot of these traditional medicines that I'm discovering in the East, I'm putting that in quotes.
I know. in this mythical land.
is based on balancing.
Yeah.
So you have inside of you. Let's like zoom out to a few of these, like some commonalities among these traditional medicines.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is that you have inside of you all of these sort of elements, and each element is associated with a temperament or a temperature, or a way of being. And these elements live in harmony, ideally,
yeah,
within your body.
Gotcha.
Right?
Yeah.
This is super simplified and probably not at all correct. But I'm doing a macro Eastern traditional medicine.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
From what I know, which is not a ton.
Hey, we're all learning, Alex.
That's right, Case. So it's about balancing these things. None of them are inherently bad or good.
Yeah.
You need all of them to live a harmonized life.
Gotcha.
Right?
It's kind of like emotions. Like you have emotions that we say are good and bad, but yeah, really you just have a bunch of emotions that, you know, you have to keep in balance.
Yes, totally. Yeah. That's a great way of describing it, Case. So the elements within Ayurveda are air,
okay,
Vayu, Jala, which is water. So I'm going to do the Indian word first and then the Akash, which is space, or they also call it ether.
Mm-hmm.
Prithvi, which is earth, and Teja, which is fire.
Wow.
Apologies to our Hindi speaking listeners.
Yes, right off the bat.
I can't imagine how bad that was to hear. So these are the five elements that sort of live within your form, right?
This is very curious. Yeah, it just reminds me very much of the same idea, but in like other traditions. I mean, almost Captain Planet, you know, like earth,
yeah,
wind, fire.
Oh,
yeah. I love that.
Yeah. In traditional Chinese medicine, it's like heat and dampness,
yeah,
and all these things. And, you know, you are affected by what's happening inside your body. You're affected, mm-hmm, by what's happening outside your body. And you kind of regulate all of these elements so that they harmonize instead of living in disharmony, which causes you illness,
uh-huh,
and disease, right?
Oh, God. As you know, Alex, all I'm doing is thinking about how that makes perfect sense in a forest. Like, I'm like, oh yeah,
wow,
totally.
Exactly. Well, tell me what you're thinking.
Well, the idea, of course, I always think about trees. Most people know this.
Uh-huh.
Everyone talks about like an ecosystem. And if you bring in an invasive ecosystem, an invasive species or something, it just throws the whole thing out of balance.
Mm.
Where an ecosystem that is in balance is functioning properly. The water that comes off of that space is clean and pure.
Right.
Everything is moving and functioning and growing to the best of its ability. And they're all somewhat complementing each other,
yeah,
versus competing with each other. And everything just seems to be working in a cyclical fashion that is just repeating itself over and over. It's in balance.
Wow, perfect.
And of course, a lot of people also think of forests as a as one system, kind of like the idea of a super organism, you know, where it's not all the same species, like an ant colony is a super organism to some extent. This is thinking, yeah, all these things are working together and balancing each other. So if you get rid of one or you throw one thing out of balance, it affects the other thing. But because of it being a complex spider web is how I've heard it. Also, ecosystems are described.
Yeah.
You can clip one one of these little silk lines. The whole thing's not going to fall apart, but it's going to have a huge impact on a section that that line was connected to.
Yeah.
But that thing that that line was connected to is connected to six other things.
Right.
So you can see one adjustment has an effect to some degree on the rest of the whole.
Casey, you don't know how much you're channeling Thich Nhat Hanh
right now. Hey, all right.
And his whole thing is interconnectedness and interbeing, mm-hmm, you know? Like, mm-hmm, what happens to you affects everyone and everything else in the world and
exactly,
vice versa. And I also like to think of it like a forest or like a human body as one giant cell.
Yeah, okay.
We have different parts that are working at different things, mm-hmm, but those have to work in harmony with the other parts or mm-hmm else the whole thing kind of collapses, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. The same as a forest.
Same as a forest.
The same as a planet Earth.
Exactly. It's all big systems.
That's right.
And small systems.
Yes, but yeah, they're all one system.
Yeah. So how does neem oil come into this?
Well, I don't quite know yet. So let me also tell you about the... So in traditional Chinese medicine and in Ayurveda,
yeah,
you can find these sort of graphs. It's like a star. Uh-huh. And it has, over here it has water, and over here it has fire. It's almost like a color wheel, like mm-hmm a color, like complementary colors and opposite colors, you know?
Yeah.
So if you have a lot of fire in you, you want to supplant it with some water.
It needs to be balanced on that other
exactly
side. But because it's five, it's never just yin and yang. It's... they're offset a little bit.
Yes.
Oh, I'd love this metaphor.
So yeah, that's sort of the whole idea. As I mean, from my brief, I have to fucking disclaim everything.
Yeah.
Maybe I shouldn't, but that is the that is my understanding of this medicine.
Yeah, I only disclaim if someone may confuse what I'm saying with being a definition for a panicle versus a racine. And you're
I don't
like
have that problem.
Yeah, and you're like, just in case I say literally anything wrong here, I'm just calling that out.
my whole thing is anytime I'm talking about any of this stuff, I'm like, in the back of my head, I'm thinking there are people listening right now who have a deep personal familiarity, mm-hmm, an intimate emotional familiarity,
yeah,
with all of these things. And if I say something that's incorrect or a misrepresentation, I'm going to hurt them.
Oh.
And they're going to be upset and they're going to think, God, I'm not being represented properly. Something I love isn't being represented properly by two white straight men,
yeah,
on this
gotcha
podcast.
Yeah.
That is sort of what I'm always thinking when okay I'm talking about almost anything.
All right. All right. Well, thank you for being so real, Alex.
There's a little peek into my psyche.
It just keeps going. Hold on. Shut the door. Don't.
Casey, another part of this medicine that we're going to bring back later is the dosha.
Uh-huh.
And a dosha... wow, I don't even know how to define this yet. Oh, a dosha is a life force.
Yes.
So it is a combination of two or more, I think just two, of these elements that exist within all of us.
Okay.
There are three dosha total.
Mm-hmm.
You have all of these three dosha within you.
Yeah.
Within your body and your mind, which is your body. And they all kind of work in harmony, and maybe one of them is center stage, you know, during a certain season of the year,
mm-hmm,
and then kind of walks backstage, and another one walks on stage,
gotcha,
for the other seasons, you know, so they're always kind of shifting and changing and growing and shrinking. We're going to talk about dosha in our segment of this episode, but
yes,
that's the idea. I'm planting that seed.
Okay, yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, I love this idea, and I love how this tree has had a role in this.
Yeah.
But I can't say that it's based on this tree by any means. It's all like the realm and the use of everything is another one of those things that I think another reason why I'm like, it's not really the oldest, you know, practiced one.
Hmm.
It just might be one of the biggest one that's still practiced.
Sure.
Maybe it's just also that all of their cultural practices were not completely destroyed in the whole colonization of the planet. Though, of course, India had a horrific experience with colonization. All that to say,
yeah,
that the traditional medicine using neem oil has now spread across the world,
yeah,
because people use it for a million different things. In fact, I read several different things like, you can make it yourself if you just grow your tree. You can grow it down in Florida if you want, or over in Hawaii.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah, it's just a tropical tree.
Very cool.
But it is, it's used for all this, and it is like fascinating that this tree has been like this pillar where they say, here it is, use this to help get your dosha back, you know, where it needs to be, or mm-hmm. use this to add a different aspect that helps bring yourself in balance. But I really want to know, and I couldn't find a whole lot of research, but like, what exactly are they using it for? But this is something that I think is just knowledge I'm not going to have until I talk with someone who's not even a practitioner, but someone who's the equivalent of the medicine man, I guess, or whatever the best term, a shaman, maybe.
Well, the Ayurveda, I did it.
Gosh, well done, Alex.
That was my first take. There was no editing.
Good job.
You can become a licensed practitioner of Ayurveda.
And it's I know not that, like, true. Yeah. In India, there's like, it's all, you can get certifications.
Yeah, you
and
like go to
right?
school for this.
Yeah. And so I guess I want to know, like, what is it that they use neem for specifically? Like, is it, do you prescribe it for this exact thing, or do you prescribe it for this plus all these other things? Is it a part of a mixture? What is the balance that neem provides, the margosa?
Well, Casey, I have a bit of insight on this.
What do we have?
Don't get your hopes up too high.
Oh, they're sky high.
By the way, I forgot the R in Ayurveda when I said it just now, and I congratulated myself. I get a big pat on the back for a mispronunciation.
Ayurveda?
Ayurveda.
I think you did it right. Anyway.
I think I skipped over the R. Anyway. So if one of these dosha, it's called Pitta, P-I-T-T-A.
Yeah.
Pitta is fire and water, Casey.
Okay.
And it's kind of represented by your temperament being like assertive, outgoing, bossy, hot, heat, aggressive, right?
I gotcha. Yeah.
So if you have too much pitta, you need what? What's the opposite of heat?
Cool.
Class?
You gotta cool yourself down.
You gotta cool yourself down. You know what a great thing to take if you want to cool yourself down?
An ice cold banquet beer.
That's right.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Coors Banquet Beer. Make sure anytime you need to get yourself a banquet, you bring the banquet beer, Coors.
I can't believe we did that for free.
Cool yourself down.
You want some neem oil, Casey. It's
neem
a cooling
oil.
Agent. Yes.
Oh, this is so good to know.
Yes.
Okay.
So it can cool excess heat.
Oh, God,
it can foster healthy blood systems. You know, when you're hot and your blood's running hot.
Yeah.
You get some cool down with some neem.
Oh.
It also lubricates and soothes the skin.
Yeah.
So a lot of times, you know, if you're like, I don't know, if I have like crazy anxiety, this is just my personal experience, and I'm like really frustrated and feeling generally sort of agitated.
Yeah.
My skin will get like red and hot.
Yes.
You know?
I feel like your blood is right there at the surface.
Yes. And neem oil, being not only an ingestible, is a topical agent.
Yeah.
You can put that on your skin and it'll cool you down.
That just, see, in my brain immediately, not scientist, goes to be like, that totally makes sense. Like, especially if you have like a little infection there where your body is putting more blood there to help fight the infection. And then you put this neem oil on, it kills the infection. Your blood goes away. You physically feel cooler.
That's right, Casey.
I can't handle this.
Casey's mind is being blown today. So Casey, a while ago I was looking at some Indian traditional medicine as a part of my bigger TCM journey.
Yes.
Traditional Chinese medicine.
Okay, perfect.
Sorry, we call it TCM in this house.
I thought you were doing Thich Nhat Hanh, and I was like, I was trying to remember the name so that I could spell it out and get the acronym, and then you explained it first.
Thich Nhat Hanh.
Yeah, I was like, huh, cool. Okay, great.
And a part of this was I was recommended to ingest some...
You mean Turner Classic Movies, right?
My big important journey with Turner Classic Movies.
Yeah, I just love Matlock reruns.
Recently watched Grapes of Wrath. It really changed my life. what is that root? Fenugreek.
Oh, yeah.
Fenugreek powder. And something I learned about... traditional medicine is that bitter things are considered to be cooling, and neem oil is crazy bitter.
Yes,
this kind older Indian woman said on YouTube, a little bitterness makes life sweeter.
Oh, that is so nice.
I was like, I'll take it every day. Thank
I'll
you.
I'll do it. Thank you, ma'am.
Yeah. So I think that's bitterness is the big cooling.
I see. Okay.
Agent,
yeah.
You know, of change. Casey, it is time for a review of this. I almost want to call it the neem tree.
I do like calling it the neem tree, but I also like Margosa so much.
Yeah, they're both great.
I always think about it in terms of the neem rather than the Margosa.
You always do.
I know. It's me.
We got to give a review to this tree, but we got to do so after an ad break. Please enjoy. We will be right back with Completely Arbitrary.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Welcome back to Completely Arbitrary. That was our discussion of the Margosa. Hey, you know what it's time for? It's time for a review of this tree. Here's how
it
works.
Let's do it.
We're going to give some final thoughts on the neem tree, the Margosa. And give it a rating of 0 to 10 golden cones of honor. Casey, as our resident expert, will begin with you.
All right. So here's the thing. I think this is a lovely tree. I enjoy a tree that has essentially superpowers. And this feels like one of those trees that has superpowers.
Yeah.
Only in and of itself. Like, there's some trees that have superpowers because they've made friends with mushrooms. This tree certainly has. But the mushrooms do not give it its power. It's got it in its own right.
Yeah.
You know? It's not a giant tree. It's planted everywhere. So I have to say, maybe a little bit overplanted.
Wow.
But then again, how can you be upset with a plant that is growing that also gives magical properties to you if you so choose to accept them? Great. So I don't know. I'm somewhere in the middle. I've never seen this tree. It's tropical. So if I did see it, I didn't know that I saw it.
Okay.
But I have to say, because of what it does and how it grows, and so far, it has like a sterling reputation. Sometimes, some places, it could be considered invasive, but it's an invasive that apparently people just kind of are stoked about, you know?
Finally,
but, yeah.
We're being invaded by the neem tree.
You know, I've been waiting for this for so long.
Free oil!
Exactly. So it's like, I don't know. But also, I'm sure that there are going to be instances where someone's like, nope, not here. This is so bad. Like, it got out of hand.
That's always the case.
It's always going to be the case. So I think that I'm going to give this exactly 7.5.
Oh.
Right down the middle.
Okay.
I love that it can do everything. I think as a tree, it's nice. The oil, 10 out of 10.
Sure.
Like, it crushes it.
Where's the oil come from?
The oil comes from the tree.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, exactly. So, hey, you know what? I think I'm pretty sweet.
Your cones are your own.
But my fingernails, I don't think are that cool. So if my fingernails came from me, they do not immediately have the same traits as me. Therefore, the oil is great. The tree, it's fine.
Fair enough.
Now I'm curious what your opinion is. You also seem to be quite disappointed with mine.
I was a little, I don't know. I was hoping for a melodica solo today. I was hoping we'd play that induction theme, but it will not be happening. Very sorry to all the parents who attended. There will be no recital. I really like this tree. As a tree, I think it's pretty unassuming and kind of whatever.
Yeah.
There's no part of it that I guess I like the bark.
Bark is good.
I feel like often we talk about trees with like cool leaves or flowers or fruit.
Yeah.
But never like really, really cool bark every once in a while.
Yeah, we'll get to some.
Hey.
I got a few tricks up my sleeve.
And usually if it is really cool bark, the tree is like named after the bark.
Oh, yeah. You know? Yeah, like a paper bark this.
Yes,
yeah.
Or the shag bark.
Gotcha,
know?
Yeah.
But I like the bark enough. The leaves are fine, whatever. The flowers are cute. You're cute. Yeah. That's what I say to the flowers.
Yeah. You pat him gently on the head, but then you also kind of like spill your coffee as you walk away.
Oh my God.
Yeah, sorry. I don't really, whatever.
However, the importance that this tree plays in a traditional medicine, Ayurveda.
Well done. How many times did we try that? Our producers say 16.
It's the rule of threes, Casey.
Good work. Very good work.
I think is really fantastic. Love me some neem oil. I've never had it before, but I love the idea behind it.
Oh, God, it's great. I do like it.
Casey himself is like a big fan of this neem oil. Yeah, and neem being sort of like you say, this magic oil that treats everything and is so kind of just this perfect compound.
Yeah.
I really appreciate that. I am giving the neem tree, the Margosa, 9.0 golden cones of honor.
9.0.
Yeah. And I'm going to play the little induction theme in my head to soothe my aching soul that this is not in the golden arboretum of honor.
Yeah.
Arboretum? Arboretum of honor.
I think this is very fair.
Casey, that was our review of the Margosa.
Sure was.
It's time for a segment. This is quite unstructured, so maybe we could come up with a structure for it.
All right, yeah, let's do it.
A name for it or something. As you know, earlier I mentioned dosha.
Yep.
Which are sort of these three temperaments in Ayurveda. Never. So, Casey, you and I are going to figure out which dosha we are experiencing right now.
Ooh, okay.
And how we can supplicate it. Is that the right word? And work with that dosha. If we have you might have an excess of a certain dosha.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So let's go through the three doshas here, and we'll call this segment Doshino.
Oh, there you go.
So the first one is Vata, V-A-T-A. And that is ether and air. Again, ether is like space.
Yeah, space, yeah.
So a person who is experiencing a lot of Vata, or whose sort of natural dosha is Vata, will have a thin and lanky frame to their body.
Okay.
Their skin will be dry, cool, and maybe rough. Their sleep will be, they might have a hard time falling asleep or staying asleep. And then their temperament will be enthusiastic or nervous or jumpy or kind of erratic potentially.
Okay. Yeah.
But mostly, gotcha. I think the big thing is like enthusiasm and energy, you know. The second dosha is Pitta, P-I-T-T-A, and that's fire and water. A person experiencing a lot of Pitta will have an average build, maybe an apple shape,
Like
broad shouldered and, you know. I don't like when we compare people's bodies to
fruit.
Yeah, it's not for me. Pear shaped, apple shaped.
Yeah,
hourglass.
You know, there's a lot. There's a lot to that in language and how we look at things. It goes places.
I mean, I can see the link here.
Yeah, I was gonna say most people are like, oh yeah, I get that.
A ripe ovary. Yeah. Their skin.
Oh, Alex.
Their skin will be warm and smooth, or potentially oily skin. Okay, class.
Oh, I'm just taken by that.
They will prefer a cool sleep. So maybe this person sleeps with the windows open.
And which one is this again?
This is Pitta, which is fire and water.
Yeah.
They're a deep sleeper. So they knock out, and then they like maybe the windows open or not a lot of heavy blankets.
Okay.
And their temperament is assertive and outgoing. They might be bossy or kind of like a lot to handle sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then the third one is Kapha, K-A-P-H-A, or maybe Kappa.
Okay.
That's water and earth. They will have their frame will be stocky or either very short or very tall.
Okay.
Their skin is pale, potentially moist or cold, cold, clammy.
Clammy, yeah, that's what I'm hearing.
Their sleep will be pleasant, but they might have difficulty waking up in the morning, kind of getting their motor going.
Uh-huh.
And their temperament, I love this. It says their temperament is accommodating, pleasant, but cautious.
Ah, okay.
You're talking about a dog or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Put that on a sign. Lost dog, do not chase. Dosha is a Kapha, so it's accommodating, but maybe a little cold.
I'm a Cappadocia and a Capricorn rising. What does that tell you?
My dog is a Capricorn rising. If you find him, please just look at him, but don't look at him in the eye. Approach from the side, not behind or in front.
Feed him cooling treats like duck or chicken. Casey, so from this list, for you, let's start with you.
Okay.
I believe that you're a Vata,
which
is space and air.
Okay, yeah.
Because of your, you've got a tight, thin frame, you know?
Yeah.
You're not small, but I don't want to talk too much about your body in front of you. Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. I'm fine with that.
You're a small statured man.
Yes, I am, as I describe, more on the spider monkey side of humanity than the gorilla side of humanity.
Yes, perfect.
That's how I like to term these things.
How does your skin? Is it dry and cool? Maybe rough?
No, it's very soft. I think it has a perfect amount of moisture right now.
Oh, interesting.
Not dry.
Is it warm or cool?
It's a little clammy because I kind of had my hands underneath my arm there. I'm sitting with the sun on my back.
Think about generally.
Yeah, generally, pretty good.
Okay.
Pretty good.
Pretty good?
Yeah.
Okay. That's not helpful. How's your sleep, Casey? No, I'm
Virgo rising, okay? I don't know what to say.
Thank you.
My sleep over the last couple of days has been iffy at best, but I blame that on caffeine.
Sure.
So the neem tree of the coffee plant, the neem oil of the coffee plant.
Do you usually have a hard time falling asleep, or you sleep pretty good?
I sleep pretty good, yeah. Okay. But, you know, it comes and goes. Depends on the day.
Sure. I mean, that as does your dosha, right?
Ah, yes. So I think sometimes I would be more in this dosha.
Okay. Your temperament, I find to be assertive, outgoing, but also enthusiastic. I think you have like anxiety without the negative side of anxiety.
Maybe I just manage it well.
You just have like
differently, maybe
manic enthusiasm.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's how I see you.
I don't get too nervous about things, even though they are constantly hanging over me.
Oh, Casey, I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's that's the way I function, I suppose.
Very zen.
So this is very interesting because I have, as I have been reading through here, I have thought of myself more of a Kapha dosha.
Interesting.
What I have read is that easygoing, calm, approachable,
yes,
but is potentially more prone to, they say, congestion and weight gain, which I am not prone to weight gain.
Not at all.
That's for sure.
It's more my speed.
Yeah, I always have found myself to be easygoing and calm under pressure.
I find
pressure.
That too.
Nice. Yeah. So something crazy is happening, I can be like, okay, everyone, let's decision A, B, C, D, let's make it happen.
True, you are good in a crisis.
I do try to be that way.
Well, Casey, I'll take your lead on this because it's you. Let's say you're a Kapha.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I am resonating hard with Kapha.
I was going to say, that also seems like something that would fit you.
Which is surprising to me because you and I seem like almost opposites at times.
Yeah. Well, this is curious because if I was to pin something, I would probably put you more as a Vata or Veda dosha.
Really?
Yeah.
You think I'm thin and lanky? Thank you.
You are so welcome, Alex. Well, actually, it's different than that. You have very much dealt with anxiety as a thing you've had to work through on how to deal with in your own life. And that also has, in this case, it says it also leads to poor sleep. And that's been something that, at least over the last, let's say, couple years, you've kind of gone in waves of having come and go. You've done lots of different things to try to figure out how you are working with your body.
Yes.
So maybe it's actually that historically, I would be like, your Veda dosha was out of balance, was too much.
Yes.
And then everything else. Now it could be that you're saying, I actually see myself more as a Kapha dosha today.
Hey.
But it might be that now it's just getting back into balance.
I like that idea, Casey. Well, for the purposes of the game, let's say I'm a Vata or a Veda.
Yeah, that sounds good.
And you're Kapha.
Okay.
Which is the opposite, actually, of what I thought it was going to end up being.
Uh-huh.
So let's look at you first. Kapha balancing.
Ooh.
Okay. You might have a Kapha imbalance.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very, very probable.
If so, you could be experiencing some of these symptoms.
Okay. What do we got?
Excess bodily fluids.
Ooh.
Do you have a thick white coating on your tongue?
What? Oh my God.
Do you have slow, sticky, or sluggish bowel movements, Casey?
You know what? Next question.
No comment.
Actually, I don't, because I use Athletic Greens. Athletic Greens.
Da, da, da. Do you feel foggy ever or lethargic?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Do you get easily attached or possessive?
Ooh, no, not really.
Okay. Do you have a tendency for emotional overeating? We have this backwards.
Yeah, I think
we have this backwards.
I'm telling you. Okay, so this is very curious. I feel like what this is teaching us is that we are not certified Ayurvedic practitioners. we're just trying to figure this out together.
Or that we have a very very off balance perception of ourselves as we do for each other.
Yeah, there you go. So if we switch that, then what would I be if I was a Vata dosha?
Well, a Vata dosha, you might be for an imbalance, rather. Uh-huh. You might be experiencing twitches, tics, tremors. Dry or chapped skin. Mm-hmm. Low body weight.
Okay.
A dislike of cold. You are a child of summer.
I do like summer very much. Yeah.
Difficulty tolerating loud noises.
Mm.
Any of that?
Yeah, that honestly resonates more with me overall, but that's mostly because I've been trying to do too much tree identification, and that's causing my brain to be like,
you're in meltdown mode.
Yeah. So I would say right now I probably have more of the Vata dosha than I do anything else.
This is my thought.
I think you might be onto something then.
Do you ever feel spacey or kind of scattered?
Yes, constantly. Not constantly, but often.
Light or interrupted sleep?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So we're onto something.
Okay.
So to decrease excess Vata.
Okay, what do I got to do?
You have some dietary and lifestyle treatment strategies, okay?
Yeah.
There's a whole list of herbs that you should be taking.
Okay.
Like chai spiced ghee.
Ooh, I should get a chai.
Uh-huh. Or ashwagandha. Have you heard of ashwagandha?
I have, yeah, but I've never had it.
Here's an ashwagandha latte mix website.
I bet you I can find one of those around here.
So here are some lifestyle things that would benefit you if you have an excess in this Vata dosha.
All right, throw it my way.
Routine.
Yes.
That
very,
is,
yeah. Done. Not that I've done it, but yes, I know that that's what I need to do.
Yes.
Okay. I'm on board with this, Alex. This is good.
Warmth.
Mm-hmm. Blankets, coats.
Yeah. I mean, you could also extrapolate that as in terms of like emotional warmth, you know?
Watch
some feel good movies, listen to some music that makes you feel like dancing. You might also benefit from some serenity.
Oh.
Just some peace and quiet.
Yeah. Okay, this is me. Yeah. I'm with it.
Nourishment. So to me that says really good foods.
Yeah.
Comfort food, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. good. Try work on your sleep hygiene.
Yeah.
Just nourish your body and your mind.
This is good to know because Alex, that's one of the things I have very much lacked in over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been eating a lot of vegetables, but I've also been being like, I'm just going to get a bagel.
Yeah. Bagels. We love them, but
God, I love bagels.
You can't get past the fact that you're eating a small loaf of bread for breakfast.
It's perfect. It's a perfect loaf of bread.
Well, speaking of foods, Casey, some foods that you might enjoy if you're trying to balance your Vata.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm saying father in German.
Oh, yeah. A little bit. You are.
Foods that are naturally sweet, sour, or salty. I feel like that covers most foods.
Yeah, that pretty much gets you there. But they say naturally.
Yes.
So that's the important thing.
Yes.
Okay.
Whole, freshly cooked foods.
Yes.
This
I do a lot of that. This is where I'm at.
I see what you're saying. A generous amount of high quality oils.
Oh.
So some good butter, olive oil, ghee.
I can do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Eating your meals at consistent times each day, Casey.
Stop looking at me, Alex.
I'm literally pointing a finger at Casey.
Yeah, because you know how inconsistent.
Yeah.
I got made fun of a while back about my eating habits where I usually get up, have some coffee, and now for the recently actually Athletic Greens because they said, hey, you should try this out. AG1.
That is a real endorsement.
Yeah, right? True. So I added that into my routine, but then I would routinely not eat until 11, 12, maybe 1, and then not eat until 5, 6, 7, 8, or 11. Like my meal times are usually consistently 4 to 5 hours apart, but they've switched from being like at maybe 8 to 12 to sometime in the evening,
right,
or the light snack afterwards, to 12 or 1, 6 and 10 or 11.
You got to tighten up that routine, my man.
Yeah, dang it. Okay.
If you want to balance your vata.
Okay, I do. I do.
Here's something that I found kind of interesting here. Eating your meal in a peaceful environment.
Oh.
So not eating on the go. Like really sitting,
game.
Right? Really sitting and then just quiet, enjoying your food.
Okay, I can do this.
Do you want to hear a couple things to avoid, Casey?
Yes.
Dry and light foods such as popcorn or crackers.
Okay, I'm good at that.
Most beans.
That's also good. I don't need a lot of beans.
And this one's gonna kill you.
Uh-oh.
Caffeine, nicotine, or other stimulants. Casey's a bit of a coffee head.
I do like
I needed
my
to
coffee.
Clarify there.
Yes, I don't actually smoke cigarettes. So no. Anytime you've heard me say, someone give me a cigarette, it's just strictly a reference to the old timey use of cigarettes.
It's just Casey being a goof.
You get it, everyone.
He's goofing. Yeah, or hard
Interesting.
Alcohol.
Interesting. All right, well, that's good. I do avoid hard alcohol.
What's the difference between hard alcohol and soft alcohol?
Hard alcohol is liquor.
Oh, liquor, like beer. Oh, okay, as opposed to beer and wine.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, so there you go, Case. That might get you back on
All
track.
All right. Well, what about you, Alex? What would you need to do if you are a kapha dosha?
Well,
or if you have an imbalance.
Sure. So I already read the symptoms, right?
Yeah.
So some things that might help me balance my kapha: stimulation, exercise,
yeah,
lightning. Not like lightning, like lightning and thunder, but lightening.
Oh, I see. I see. Yeah.
It's telling me to lose weight.
No, I bet you it's telling you like get rid of stuff, you know, lighten your load a little bit.
Oh, sure. I mean, like the fat on my body.
Okay. I guess if you're going to draw back in, no matter what I try. Yeah, that makes sense, actually, because you spent a week out in the forest and you were like, God, that was so good.
Yeah.
Like that is a stimulus in a different way than, you know, other things.
Totally. As opposed to my studio apartment where I spend 99% my time.
Yeah, exactly.
Warming and drying. So I guess I don't really know how to apply that.
Huh.
But some foods that I should be enjoying are foods that are naturally pungent or bitter or astringent.
Oh, really? So you got to cool yourself down. This is some neem oil.
That's
right,
what
here.
I'm saying, man.
Ah.
But it's also saying warm foods, both energetically and in temperament.
Interesting. Okay, so some sushi. That's what you need.
Yeah, warm foods like
sushi.
Fish and rice.
Yeah.
Heating spices like chili, cayenne, cinnamon, cumin.
Gotcha.
Light, dry, and warm foods like popcorn and crackers like you're not supposed to
exactly.
have.
Exactly. Okay. So we need to eat the opposite thing so that That's we can right. get ourselves back into balance.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
You eat vegetables, I'll eat McDonald's.
Done. Yeah.
That's what
this
is.
And this will make us better.
How about this? Taking a deep breath after swallowing your last bite and heading off for your next activity.
Whoa. Now, see, that's something I would be surprised if you were not already doing.
I try to enjoy my food.
Mm-hmm.
And some things to avoid: overeating. No comment. Highly processed foods like frozen foods or things like that.
McDonald's, fast food.
It says TV dinner. I haven't had a TV dinner since the 90s.
Oh, yeah. Wow, this is a little outdated. At least for our culture, maybe.
Alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Got
you've
that
done
one
that.
On.
Yep.
Excessive red meat. Interesting.
You've also done that. You went. You've really cut back on your meat consumption historically.
Yes. I eat red meat maybe like once every couple months.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. Yeah.
Casey, that was our Doshino.
Doshino.
It is time for our completely arbitrary Q&A. Casey, this week's question, as every week, comes from the Patreon, patreon.com/arbitrarypod, ArbitraryPod. And this week's question is from Texas Chris.
Well, hey, Texas Chris, good to see you.
I'm currently working with an arborist for hours toward my ISA arborist certification test.
That's what I'm talking about.
But unfortunately, Casey, Chris has a fear of heights.
Oh, yes.
You're in good company, Chris.
You
so
are
do
in
I.
good company.
Therein lies my predicament, says Chris. Is there a role a certified arborist can perform without having to climb? Casey.
Yes.
I thought this was a really interesting question because I think it's like an accessibility thing.
Yeah, right?
Chris wants to work with trees, wants to be an arborist, is going after it for the ISA certification.
Mm-hmm.
But I think kind of naturally, when you work with trees and you're an arborist, it means that you usually have to climb.
People assume that's what you're doing.
That's my assumption, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I know that that's not necessarily the case.
You are spot on. arbiculture has many different facets, of course. And one of them is being a climber. You jump into a tree, you have your ropes, you are pruning, you're doing removals from the top down, you're doing whatever you need to do inside the tree. It's one aspect.
Sure.
There are other aspects, like literally everything else that you do that has to do with the tree, that is not climbing.
Right.
So the first thing that comes to mind, and one of our other patrons actually noted this before we were able to, is plant healthcare. That is the technique and the application and the science and the art of applying different treatments to trees based on you diagnosing the issue with them. So let's say you have a pear tree. That pear tree has this little orange spot on it. And you're like, what is that little orange spot? Call your arborist, and your arborist comes out. The plant healthcare technician would look at it and say, aha, this is cedar apple rust. In order to get rid of cedar apple rust, you need to do this, this, and this.
It's a bit like a doctor.
Exactly. It's exactly the same except for the tree. That doctor does not need to climb the tree. All they need to do is see what's in front of them, see the leaf, see the symptoms, and then they can diagnose what the issue is. And then they treat the issue. So just like a doctor, they prescribe it some kind of usually chemical treatment, but there's also cultural treatments. Rake away the leaves because that's where this overwinters, that kind of thing.
Oh, cultural treatments. Interesting.
Yeah. So the idea of cultural treatment means change how you're working with the plant, whatever your management is, and then that will have an impact versus a chemical treatment that is putting something in or on the tree that makes, you know, changes some chemistry about it.
I got you.
So that's a thing you can do. You can also work on doing the groundwork. You don't have to climb the tree. You can just use your ropes and let the climber do all the cutting up in the tree. And all you have to do is just let the branch down, then take it to the chipper, that kind of thing. So essentially you need to learn knots and communication. And that's really the two things you got to know.
Hey, same as old-timey sailors.
Exactly. Knots in communication, and you can circumnavigate that ocean. No problem, Magellan.
Oh, also some constellation.
Yes, you do have, there's some other things. Let's not round too far up. But yeah, and then you can also be a municipal arborist. You can learn how to diagnose, or not diagnose, but assess a tree for risk and say, well, I don't need to climb the tree. I can just look at it and figure out what's going on with it from on the ground.
Casey, that's what you used to do.
Exactly. I still do every now and then.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Some you kind of do it as a contract work now.
Yeah, exactly.
People call you out and say, what's going on with this tree?
Precisely.
And you'll say, well, I've got bad news for you. This motherfucker dead.
This is a shrub. That's exactly.
Probably the biggest problem with this tree is that it's a rhododendron.
It's a rhododendron, so I can't help, but you still must pay me.
Well, there you go. Chris has got some options.
You got so many options. Do not worry about that. Just make sure you're clear. Maybe tree work is not going to be your big, intense future. Maybe it's going to be doing something else entirely.
But, hey, you know what? Life takes you in crazy directions. Casey,
sure does.
You're an ISA certified arborist, and here you are hosting a podcast.
Exactly. What the hell am I doing here? Oh my
no, God. Please don't go.
Sorry, Alex. I'll stay. I'm cool. It's cool.
Thank you, Chris, for your question. If you've got a question for us, join up on the Patreon, patreon.com/arbitrarypod. That is arbitrarypod.com. If you'd like to support this podcast, that is just the best way to do it. We've got tiers for every budget. And each tier gets different rewards. Casey.
Alex.
Including the Cone of the Month Club.
That's right. The coveted Cone of the Month Club. Alex Croson, the artist this year, this last month.
That's right.
Is one Alex Croson.
Oh, it was nothing.
You did a spectacular Kaiomaki, otherwise known as the Japanese Umbrella Pine.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Well, thank you very much, Casey.
I'm very excited about it, and I think a lot of other people are too.
It got a really good reception, and I'm going to be revealing this this month's cone, which will be something else, quite soon. In fact, by the time you hear this, it might have already been revealed.
Uh-oh.
But I still have to choose between two. I'm very excited about.
I'm pretty excited about that.
That's the best way to support the podcast. You get monthly cone stickers by different artists with a little info card and exchange for small monthly monetary fee. Casey, we also have arbitrarypod.com/merch.
Right.
Go up there and get yourself a t-shirt, get some stickers, get a poster. Lots of new merch on the way. I don't want to give a timeline, so we'll just say soon.
It's happening. It always is. There's always something new just right behind the scenes.
That's right, Casey. Just like a forest floor, there's always some new sapling finding its first ray of sunshine.
That's exactly right. So beautiful. Well done.
Casey Clapp.
With that, Alex.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Completely Arbitrary, and we will see you next time.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Completely Arbitrary is produced by Alex Croson and Casey Clapp.
Our artwork is by Jillian Barthold, and our music is by Aves and the Mini Vandals.
And you can support the podcast at patreon.com/arbitrarypod.
And find additional readings at completelyarbitrary.com. Thanks for listening.